All right, my precious brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. And God willing, I believe we've kind of come to the conclusion tonight. And we've been in it almost a year. But I have to tell you, it feels like it was just yesterday. I am thankful you love the Word of God. It thrills my heart that we have received the grace to preach the Word and to be satisfied with the Word of God. And what an utter understatement in that. We're satisfied, and yet at the same time we're thrilled. We're full, yet at the same time we're hungry for more. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So I love you too, and I am. There's a kind of a sweet sorrow in coming to the conclusion, I have to tell you. So I was thinking about it, praying before coming out here. But you know, you never leave this message, because it is the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we're so thankful that He's revealed this. But before we touch on the last six verses, because that's where we'll be in that sixth chapter, God willing, I'd like to, and have been encouraged to, just look back through this glorious letter. And how we've heard so many times, and I do agree, and I believe God has encouraged us. High water marks. My goodness. Pray for me. Are all throughout the Word of God. But the high water mark, praise His name, is so evident in this wonderful letter to the Ephesians. And we're so grateful to God that He's revealing this. It truly is the culmination of the very plan, purpose, provision, the power, and the perfection of God that He is so freely offering to us by His grace. As you even think of salvation, who, me? Why? Because you so love. And that was just the beginning. And so grateful to God that He continues to open this up. And that's what this wonderful letter is. And as we go back into the first chapter, it all started back in verses 3 and 4. Where He says there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." See, we're talking about something that's done. Amen. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." So here we have the wonderful Godhead starting out, completely agreed, written in ages past, us in Christ. God saw this perfection for everyone and anyone who would believe, and anyone and everyone who would receive it in His Son. And it is so plainly stated here, brothers and sisters, once that grace is received, once that wonderful grace of God that extends to all men, it does, it's there for everybody. His blood died for the sin of all men. So it's there. But once it is received, at that very moment, the transformation of that life to us in Christ. Hallelujah. Standing before Him, Christ Jesus made the very righteousness of God for us. That life has been given. We stand before Him righteous and holy. Hallelujah. Never to be separated from the love of God. Never to be rejected. Always encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace, because we are children of the King. And at the same time, being blessed with everything. You didn't deserve a thing, and neither did I. But let me tell you something. This is just what the plan of God is. Blessed with everything. All the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Praise God, we do have it all, brothers and sisters. We are fully supplied. We have every provision. We have every asset. Even the very wisdom of God, if you read the verses 8 and 9, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. I mean, we really sit here tonight and we are so without excuse. Are we not? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it marvelous? Not only can you sit there and say, oh, I got a chance. My goodness, that's such an understatement. It's such a statement of unbelief. God, you've made the way. Hallelujah. I'm already, praise the Lord, kind of jumping ahead. But because of that life-changing moment of time for me and you, when you accepted him as Savior, seated together with him in the heavens. Seated, done, completed that. Praise God, from death to life everlasting. Hallelujah. And yet most of God's precious people just stop right there. It is amazing. It is unbelievable. It is the most amazing, astonishing, fantastic thing in a way that anyone could ever imagine. But that is just the beginning. Just the beginning of it all. But in that beginning, praise God, blessed with everything fully supplied, so that we in Christ can become vessels made, built up, formed to the praise of his glory. It actually says that for the Jew in verse 12 and for the Gentile in verse 14. For the praise of his glory. You are wanted. And you're not wanted by just anybody. You're wanted by the somebody. God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise his name. So then Paul, as we rejoice, is he was so quickened with this love and this revelation. Goes on to pray. And this is the Spirit. You understand that. And this is why this is the Word of God. That is forever. It's the only thing that will be. Everything will pass away but the Word of God. And in this Word, it's so precious that this prayer goes out. And this prayer includes us in Christ. Amen? Amen. And in verses 18 and 19, let's just read a little bit of this wonderful prayer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now you got to think again who he's speaking of here and who this is to. This is some wondrous, amazing, again, all by the grace of God, saints. Saved full of the Holy Ghost. A zeal for the things of God. Want to go on, want to grow in these things. Fellowshipping. In spite of all of this worldliness that's going on in this city, you know, there was worldliness everywhere. See, God chose to raise a Joseph right in the heart of Egypt. He chose to take that sweet little Rebecca for that bride right in the heart of a Babylon. Know what he's doing here. Thanks be to God. Amen. He's not growing us up in a hothouse as we would think. But it's perfect how he's doing it, isn't it? Hallelujah. So, see, we know he's for us. We know he's for us. And in that, praise God, this is what's for us. But that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, not doubt or wonder, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. How many times, and we've been caught there too, oh, I wonder what God has for me. You know what God has for you. This hope is what God has for you. And all of that other stuff that you think, oh, worrying about what God has for you, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's us in Christ is the only thing that matters. Sure, it matters to magnify him in every breath we take. Sure, it matters to, as he has appointed this day for you to go out there to work, to be a mom, a dad, whatever it may be, a student. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Sure, that matters. But that's the mattering of us in Christ, the testimony of the love of God, the confidence in my Lord, knowing, not being tossed to and fro, wondering, knowing what is the hope of his calling. See, it's not my calling, it's His calling. We might not get through this tonight, might, huh? I thought we talked about this. I put this always in remembrance by God's grace. And that's just Him that's doing it. But you see how opposite this is from the world? Do you see how opposite this is from what we hear from most pulpits today? You'll go in there and you'll get a card. Well, let's discover your gift. I already know what my gift is. I know what your gift is. You've been called to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's right here to know the hope of His calling. I let the Spirit deal with the gifts because He's going to give them as He wills, doesn't He? Read the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Read about those Corinthians and how far off they got into that. Oh, this is mine. Look at my flesh. Look at how great I am. And Paul, all he's preaching here is get out of the way. Decrease. Let my Son be magnified. Amen. Praise His name. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I love how he brings that out. Sure, we have an inheritance. It's Him, but His inheritance is us. You see that? Praise His name. He doesn't just love us. We're everything to Him. He wants us, He needs us, but it's us in His Son. There's a body, isn't there? Praise His name, how He's bringing this out and making it more real to our lives. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? See, we're not all of God. Come on now. Oh, we're all children of God. You hear people say that often. Oh, no. Only those who believe. Praise the Lord. That's why we're from every kindred, tongue, and nation in here. Because that's how God said it would be. See, we weren't born in this by natural birth. By spirit. Praise His name. So, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working, again, of what? Of His mighty power. The most powerful thing I've ever known is the grace of God. What gets us to worship Him? It's what brings us in here to praise His name. That makes us yearn and want the Word of God. It's grace. I come to Him and I say, Lord, I want to know You more. I want to be more thrilled with the Word of God. I'm feeling a little flat. I don't really understand these things. Well, Your grace tells me that even if I be otherwise minded, You'll make that known unto me. Because not that it's my desire, but that it's His. That it's His inheritance, that it's His Son, that it's His plan, that it's His provision, that it's His power. And the only way that the wretched likes of me and you could ever receive this is grace. Hallelujah. All right. See, it's good to go over it. Feel like I haven't even been there before. Praise His name. Then chapter 2. Praise His wondrous name. He so sweetly reminds us there. It's all by grace. Dead in sin. Dead in trespasses. But God. But God in His rich mercy. And God in His great love for us. Has quickened us together with Christ. As I kind of jumped the gun, raised and seated. I'm not trying to get there. You know? I always appreciated when I finally heard that and it kind of clicked. I don't try to be human. I may not act like it sometimes, but I don't try to be human. I am human. And when you're born again, you are born of Him. And let me tell you something. You don't need to try to be. You just be. Isn't that wonderful? We spend a lifetime trying to get it. Actually, not trying to get it. Lord, just let me receive it. Amen. Yeah, see, when I start trying, that's when there's a problem. Because then this flesh starts to grab hold again. No, honey, let me peel them fingers off, step back, and let me have it. All right? Praise God. Sounds like you've been there before too. All right. And why are we raised and seated together with Him? Because we are one with Him. Because Christ Jesus is our life. I love that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Read that. Know that. Know that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And we're His. So then, in that, chapter 2 tells us that we have a complete peace. Now, whether you not want to believe this, this is up to you. But God help us to want to believe this. That in that, He gives us a complete, a perfect peace. His very peace. The peace of Christ Jesus. He knows that He's accepted. Well, you say, well, He's Jesus. Well, He's given you that life. So this is the same invitation that we have. This is why we go boldly in there. It's because of one thing. We have the very life of Christ. Amen? Amen. So in that we know we're accepted. We know we have approval. We know we're seated with Christ. And then that carries us into chapter 3, where then He makes it known. As you go over there, thinking, my goodness, we could have got done with this in a night, huh? Oh my. But He makes it known in chapter 3, which is so wonderful, that we have access into something that no prophet, no angel, or any son of God ever had access to. And I do, it's hard to even read that sometimes. The mystery that was hidden to them. They spoke of it. They prophesied of it. Brother Daniel said, oh Lord, I'd love to see more of it. But in 1 Peter 1:12 and in Hebrews 11:39-40, it tells us very clearly that they could not enter into that promise because it wasn't meant for them. A better thing for us. Praise His name. See, don't feel sorry for me. Let's not insult what God has done. And God help me not to feel sorry for you. Boy, that's pretty heartless, brother. Well, I have compassion. But I want to have godly compassion. That says, Lord, I'm letting go. And I'm watching You. Because Your ways are past finding out. Amen? All right. So then we see that. They couldn't enter into this promise because it wasn't meant for them. And let's read verses 5 and 6 there. Which in other ages, this is chapter 3, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Tells you very clearly. It wasn't made known unto them. As it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See that Holy Spirit, there we go. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. And that is, like I say, we should put it on our license plate, but we can't get it. Sunc Laurentimus. That's what fellow heirs means. Joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Yeah. I could see just a sigh on a few. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I believe there's lives here that believe it. I believe there's lives here that are being transformed not to just hear it, not to just have this understanding of it, but to have a knowledge of it. Yes, amen. A knowledge, a full knowledge of the truth. Intimacy as a husband and wife. Know what those words mean. Words do mean something. And the Word of God means everything. And by His grace, I pray that we receive this. Now again, I remind you, God reminds us, He's speaking to mature saints, saved, filled, full of the Holy Ghost, zealous for the Word of God. And here He reveals to them the message of the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He reveals to them the message to be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to these things, brothers and sisters. There is something more. There is something greater that was brought out through Paul that was hidden. It always was there. But God said, by my Spirit. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? By my Spirit. Oh, Spirit, take control of me. Let me sit, be still, and bring it on. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. By my Spirit, the message. I count it all loss but to win Him. The message, if by any means I might attain to the out resurrection. The message of the capturing away of the first trump company. The message of the bride, the Lamb's wife. They didn't know this, but God chose a chosen vessel unto me. And thanks be to God, it was the chief of sinners. So the threshold was set as low as it could be. Do you see how God does that? Oh, come on, Paul, I was wicked. No. The Spirit told me to testify of this. I, the chief of sinners, this grace given to me, it's given to you and you and you. Doesn't that just put chills on you? I just love it. Lord, you said it. It is. It's all open. You talk about a slam dunk. It's just right there. He set it all before us, brothers and sisters. Now, what are we going to do with it? I heard it. Take it. By His grace, take it. But see, we always want to put conditions on things. We want to make it some type of a work, something that we do. And you know why? Because it doesn't feel right. It couldn't be that way. I'm learning more and more. Praise be to God. It is completely opposite of what I feel. It's all by faith. All by faith. God, help me to get rid of this, truly, this natural mind in thinking of things spiritual. Let this mind be in you that was in me, that is in me. That's the only mind that's ever going to quicken us into these things. How many times over and over in the Word of God does He say, that's the rudiments of the world, son. Those are the things that'll deceive you. That's the natural mind. It can never be learned that way. You're not going to sit there in a think tank. You can think that you can sit in the think tank and do this. But why would you when the Word of God tells you it's not going to happen that way? It must be spiritually discerned. Okay? All right. Stay with this one, huh? And then in chapter 3, 16 through 21, here goes Paul praying again that we would surrender to the power of His might. It's a hard thing to be made weak, isn't it? It's a hard thing sometimes to have things exposed. I was rejoicing with a brother over dinner. How precious it is when the Lord allows you to be humiliated. And it is. Those are the greatest times. They're the most important times of our life. Jesus, thank you. I realize I am completely inept. That I do need you. That I am weak. And it's in those infirmities I glory. Because that's when the very power of Christ, oh my, the Holy Spirit is resting upon me. Everything we read in here is by the Spirit. I want that Spirit just smothering me. But you know what? In saying that, I know that there's going to be a lot of infirmity to go with it. I know there's going to be a lot of weakness that goes with that. I understand that by God's grace, These things are going to appear strange, but we think it not strange, because we know His word is true. That it must be this way. That yes, as we rejoiced the other day, take up your cross. But all the time, know that He's holding it with you. He carries it for you. Praise be to God. He really does. You have no strength. Oh, you got a little strength, they said. I think he was just saying, thank you for leaning on me. Because that was the only way you'll ever come out of this wilderness, is leaning upon Him. Know it. Know it. Praise God. All right. So, He gives us the faith to apprehend. Praise His name. This beyond comprehension, divine agape love, and fill us full of it, and complete us full of it, and finish us as vessels that will bestow the glory of God so much that we can become that wonderful company that He will make known that I have loved thee. You ever think how He's going to make known that He has loved you? I'm sure that there's a lot of ways, but I kind of have a thought in my heart I'll share with you. It's called the kiss of wedlock divine. Yep, she's mine. Oh, she was hidden. That goodly pearl, despised and overlooked. My brother Hill used to talk about that greatest diamond they found. It was found on a beach. How many thousands upon thousands walked right by, just disregarded it. But finally there was a one that knew exactly what he was looking for. Is that you? Is that us in Christ? Praise His name. Chapter 4. The application of it, brothers and sisters, in us in Christ. He tells us right at the beginning, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And He's going to tell you there's only one way you're going to walk in it, and that's love. It's not by works. It's not going to be by your doing. It's not going to be by anything. It's love. And you know who love is? God. So if God's enabling you and it's God's love that did it, grace. I'm sorry. We're going to read over and over. There's just nothing you can do. And aren't you thankful that He has to do it all? Praise His name. He will do it all. And it will be evident. And you talk about the works that this kind of faith produces. And it really does. When you realize and apprehend that wonderful grace of God, He will work in you His good pleasure. And He'll have you willing and doing of His good pleasure. Amen? Amen. Praise His name. Now, we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We walk worthy of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And how do we do it? Get low, stay low, get out of the way, and let the Holy Ghost shed the love of God abroad in your heart. Why? Because we walk by love. It's the walk of love. And the Holy Ghost is the one that takes that love and sheds it abroad so you can walk this wondrous, mighty walk of grace. Praise His name. That's it. That's again this surrendering we keep talking about. The evidence will be the bridal love not only to the Godhead, but to the body just as much. Let's go ahead and read chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. See, there's the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Amen. Complete, fully finished, furnished, magnificently mature. As Brother Copley would say, perfect symmetry. Nothing's out of place. With one glance of her eye, he's totally smitten. Praise His name. It's all yours, honey. It's all yours. Praise His name. You're altogether beautiful. You're altogether lovely. And that's what it is till we all come in the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That sounds like all the fullness of God to me. Be filled with it. Be filled with it. And it's there for us. Hallelujah. So she is altogether lovely. But see, it's not me. It's not you. It's us in Christ. It's Christ in me and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I say, praise God, it's Him, it's Him. Amen? Amen. See? That's why we can get along, believe it or not. Can you imagine that? That's why we can actually love one another. Not tolerate, forbear. Huh? Amen. Long suffering. We enter into that. Praise God. That's what it is. And children, brothers and sisters, do not and will not receive this. For they give ear to fables, to flattering lies. Let's look at verse 14 right there, the fourth chapter. That we henceforth be no more children. Come on, you know this now. Knock it off. Stop it. This isn't you. You haven't been called to this. So from now on, you know this. You're without excuse. Stop it. That's what it's saying here. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Be the perfect man. Now, way back, chapter 1 and 2 already told me sinless perfection was already taken care of. By grace are ye saved. Righteous and holy as I'm ever going to get the moment I received Him. So obviously what He's talking about is growing up. Growing up. So that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. And here it is. But instead, speaking the truth in love. It's not holding yourself up and trying to meditate on something new or trying to be holy and going working at this kitchen or traveling down to that country to build something. That's not going to make me grow up. That's not going to make me anything. Except maybe I better stop. But speaking the truth in love. May grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And that's some good stuff. Praise His name. What a masterpiece we are in Christ Jesus. And how pleased He is to see it. Father, do you see our work? Do you see our work? My work. Praise His name. That just makes you rest, doesn't it? You ceased from your own works and you rest. What a beautiful moment. God, by your grace, make it last, huh? You know how that is. But thanks be to God that that moment is tarrying longer. Yeah, it's precious. And I believe He's working in us. Now, chapter 5 then goes on to reaffirm that this walk as a readied wife is a walk in one thing. And I've already touched on it. Love. Right? Right there in verse 2. And walk in love. Walk in love. And it's the love, brothers and sisters, that we submit to one another. Christ in you, Christ in me is unto the Lord. I don't do this out of self. I do it out of the love of God that He placed in me. That's Christ in me. And I appreciate that. Christ in me loves Christ in you. And Christ in you loves Christ in me. Problem is sometimes is when things get off, we start loving other things. Maybe a personality about somebody. Maybe the way that they look or the things they say or how nice they are to this. That will fail. That will disappoint you. Don't you look at that. The one thing that will never disappoint you is Christ in me and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise His name. See, that's the fellowship that He continues to take us to. That's this wondrous, and it's true, it's I don't know how to say it. It's electric. It's magnificent. The fervency of the love of God that continues to grow and to take over this place. We don't need to look for an expression. It's just there. And it's that love. And it is Christ in you and Christ in me. So God is encouraging us to enter in and to dwell or to settle down in marriage. Occupying, abiding. Boy. That really mean I just kind of sit and abide? Mary has chosen the better place. As the sister said, sit down and listen. Praise be to God what it's produced. Not just in one, but in everyone in us in Christ. Praise His name. So in that's what we do. And we abide as the readied wife till He come. Chapter 6 then takes us into the battle that we've been so sweetly rejoicing in. And sometimes you do get a little bit faint. And sometimes you do despair of your own life. But my goodness, I'm telling you what. When I realized by His grace I got on the whole armor of God. Well, I don't know what you're going to do today. I feel like that little servant looking up there at Jonathan. Man, they're like locusts in the land down there, but I'm just smitten with you. Whatever you say, let's go do it. You's crazy. But crazy in love with Him. Hallelujah. Let that speak to you. Lord, nothing is hard for you. Nothing. Everything is possible with you except to fail. So praise His name. God, give us that vision. But He tells us that the battle will ensue and the battle will rage. But we also are encouraged that we can reign victorious as Brother Paul as we follow Him, as he followed Christ. Not that we're worshiping or paying any homage. I understand, as that dear brother said in heaven, get up. Don't you be worshiping me. I'm just like you. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's Paul. I hope you don't take that. It doesn't tell us. Okay? So don't go jumping where you don't need to be. But we will also reign victorious as Brother Paul by taking and putting on the whole armor of God in verses 10 through 18 that we were in for those weeks. And the result without fail every time. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Now this is the result of all of these things and being patient and abiding, taking on the whole armor of God. Amen. And sometimes that battle that's the most raging is when you just are sitting and being still and nothing's going on and you're feeling not a thing. It doesn't have to be a raging battle maybe in your family or in your body. He's going to do it in a lot of different ways, isn't he? He's going to fully... When you talk about complete, He's going to test it. Praise God. He's going to show Himself faithful. All right? So chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Speaking to Brother Timothy in that same spirit in us. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Not flattering words, not trying to give you itching ears or anything of that nature. The doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think we're there. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away. Yes, they will. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. Think of this as we start into these last verses tonight, and we'll close up rather quick, but think of what that just said there. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For here goes Brother Paul. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He must have finished it all in love. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And thanks be to God for a colon being there. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go and read the final six verses, and that'll bring us to the conclusion. So back to chapter 6. Verses 19 through 24. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Titius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to you. Peace be to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, as he closes this out, I appreciate Paul says, and for me. Now, everything that we had already studied here, he took, he received, he knows very clearly. It's always we, us in Christ, including himself. But now he's wrapping this up and he says, and for me, yes, I'm a prisoner here. He's writing this from a prison. I may be in the bonds of man, he's saying, but you know what? I'm not their prisoner. How about you? Huh? Man may think he has you. They may think they've got you. They don't got me. I'm not even really here. That's when they really want to commit me, because I'm seated in the heavens over there. Now, do I want to believe God or am I going to believe man? Well, there's no question there. Man, you don't have anything to offer but a big hurt. And God, it's all gain. Hallelujah. So see, I'm not their prisoner, Paul's saying. I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he's saying it doesn't not appear what I shall be, but I know this, that when he shall appear, I will be like him. See, these earthly chains, they change nothing. The only thing is that I'm growing in more grace and more glory as I write this to you. So he continues to say here, though, pray for me. He needs their prayers. He covets them. And that I even what? That I'd have a coat? Nope. Sure he wanted one. We read that later in a way. That I get out of here? Nope. He wasn't praying for that, was he? He was completely affixed upon the message, upon this invitation, upon this love offering. There wasn't anything that was going to deter him from it. And it wasn't him. It was just the grace of God that was with him. He preached of that all the time. It wasn't me. It wasn't by my strength. It's because of the grace of God that is with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he's saying here, continue to pray for me that I have even more utterance. Specifically, this word utterance means to preach boldly this doctrine. Just like we read there in 2 Timothy a moment ago. Paul asks for more boldness to speak. Shoot, they're beating him, whipping him, doing all these things to him. And all he keeps asking for is more of the same thing that got him there. I just want to be more bold in this. I don't want to shut up. But I need the encouragement of the Lord. And for me, pray for me. Because you know what? This isn't of me. I'm not just trying to be a rascal. I want to be encouraged. I want to be sincere as we end this up. Sincerely in love. This isn't no show. This isn't something that's for anything but its grace and it's real. So he asks for more boldness to speak and even more opportunities to speak the word of God is really what that implies as well too. And he says it two times as he ends here. He says that I may speak boldly, that I may make known, that I open my mouth boldly. There was something going on here. God was continuing to quicken him. I can hear him say, Lord, I'm almost home. I want to see you, but I want you to see me on fire. Amen? So, Lord, don't let me be discouraged. Yeah, don't let me be discouraged. Sometimes we get discouraged a little bit, but God quicken. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That I may make known this mystery. Paul, follow Paul as he followed. Mark that walk. God, let us too have this spirit-filled desire to profess the message of our soon coming bridegroom. And even more boldly every moment, brothers and sisters. And here, Brother Titius, he says, I'm sending him. Titius means fortunate. And I'll tell you what, when you get this message, you're fortunate. And when you preach this message to those that'll hear, they're fortunate. So everybody's fortunate because of the grace of God. And you'll notice he calls him a beloved brother. How wonderful. See, everybody's not a beloved brother. That's not the case here. This is a beloved brother. He's emphasizing this. A much loved brother. Beloved brothers and sisters has a bridal insinuation. And it had to be a like-minded wife to bring forth this message. Did you hear that? Like-minded. Same conviction. Because I'm going to tell you, this brother knew it was coming too. He wasn't going to escape this thing without suffering together with Christ. Amen? And you're not going to either. If you want to win him, if you want to be glorified together with him, you first will gladly and willingly suffer together with him. And you will. And this brother knew it. That's why he could preach this in love and in sincerity. But he's much loved, bridal loved, fully grown, ready to make known. I love those words, make known. If we are ever to aspire to be those that will be, as he said, I will make known there in Revelation 3:9. I mentioned it earlier. You ever aspire to be in that company that he is going to make known that I have loved thee? Let me tell you something. The requirement is, and it's not out of duty, it's just out of love. How could you not profess it? You're going to make known the mystery of the gospel of Christ. You're not going to be quiet about it. You're not going to be still about it. It's not to be obnoxious, but it's not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You realize that it is the power of God unto salvation. We understand this to everybody that believes, but we understand this. It's the power of God to a complete salvation. Amen. Amen. Know how complete this is. Know how immense this is that he's speaking of here. The out-resurrection, brothers and sisters. This brother is a full of faith, as he says, faithful, full of faith minister. And he makes known to them all things, as it says there, all things. Remember how brother said earlier in some of the letters, I withheld nothing from you. I withheld nothing, no matter the cost. I'm grateful to God we have brothers and sisters of like precious faith that want to come in here and receive the word of God. We have a precious place. God has given us a precious love for the word of God. It is wonderful to be in the company of like precious faith saints. Amen. But God, in his great mercy, in his rich love to us, I believe that even if he would isolate us, I believe he'd still profess this wonderful love from our lives. If we're following Paul as he followed Christ, I believe that that love would encourage me no matter where I went. Amen. See, we don't doubt him. We just trust him. That's what it is. So no matter the cost, as he goes on to say, the same purpose. And what was the purpose? To encourage that if we suffer together with him, we'll be glorified together with him. And in that, that's all the comfort, as he says, to comfort you. That's all the comfort you ever need. That's the comfort that you need. Praise God. You know the plan, the purpose, the provision, the power, the perfection. You know it. That's your comfort. It's the message. It's not if I have a job or I don't have a job. It's not if everybody's speaking good of me or if not. Actually, read the Word of God. Whoa, you better watch out if all men speak well of you. Probably means you're compromising something. Huh? I don't need to antagonize you. I promise I don't. You fall in love with the Word of God, they'll hate you without a cause, just like they did him. Yeah. All right? And God tells us to love everybody because he does. So you know you couldn't do that. But when you walk in love, love will do that. All right? So here he finally ends up, and we'll close it with this. Peace. Peace. Peace means to be still. And obviously only the brethren have peace. It's true. It is true. The brethren have peace. Now, do you understand one of the benefits of the much, the more, as we see that day approaching? Do you understand how much unrest is in this world right now? There's nothing but chaos. There's no such thing as peace in this world right now, but for Jesus Christ. Never has been either. But it's made more evident right now. Everybody's reaching and grasping and fighting like never before. Never before. We were going to come and join. We're not going to join anything. It ain't happening. This is the peace, to be still. Settle in the most holy faith. Love with faith. See, it says here, love with faith. See, that's the faith that will go all the way. The faith which works by love. See, this faith isn't of yourself. It's his love that gives you the faith. It's the love of God is the reason we believe him. It's his love for us, the reason that we trust him. It's the love for him, the reason that no matter what these natural eyes see and how daunting something may be and how maybe these educated ones, and I don't know, there's lots of people, and obviously we're facing a lot of body afflictions. And there's some people that mean very well in medicine today. But brothers and sisters, don't go by their understanding. Don't go by your understanding. Lean not upon that. Commit thy ways unto him. All thy ways. Huh? Lean upon him. Hmm? Okay. Come on. This is the faith which works by love. All by grace, as it says here. You see the grace? Faith with love from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that wasn't of you. It was from God and the Son. What a gift. And then finally, grace be with you. And the grace is with all those that love Jesus Christ in sincerity. Praise the Lord. Great grace. All the grace you'll ever need is right there. Right there, holding you. Now apprehend it. Grace will keep you. Grace will give this power, the power of the love to finish and ready you. And finally, I believe it's be still, abide, for my coming draweth nigh. It's been a sweet study. Praise his name. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, amen. I'd love for him to come now. But obviously, it's the Father that knows. So in that, brothers and sisters, we abide, and his grace allows us to wait patiently, abounding in hope for that glorious day. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.